Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast.
All right, Dino Talk gang is back. And today, we actually have some trade discussions to do on the pod. And to kind of fill you guys in our group message with all three of us, Jesse and I had a little bit of a... We had some trade discussions over the group messages, and things got a little heated. We were just playing around, but we were like, you know what? Like, let's stop here. Let's just bring on the pod. Let's just get everything out there, and maybe at the end we can have Logan tell us who the winner is and maybe which side of the trade that he would prefer. But we both have arguments ready, and Jesse, you want to go first? Or actually,
you go ahead. Start us off, all buddy.
All right, maybe
give it the backstory that you have as well.
Yeah, okay. I'll fill us in on the trade. So Jesse sent me a trade offer of Garrett Wilson, Derrick Henry, and his second round pick for my Justin Jefferson. And I counter with Garrett Wilson, Jonathan Taylor, and a second. Just switching out Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor. And I think the Jonathan Taylor one was completely fair. In fact, I feel like I could even be giving up value. But Jesse seems to think the other one is more than fair. And just to fill you guys in, I think Jesse has a little bit better of a team in this league. Like, he's got a pretty strong top-heavy roster. And mine, I have some good players, but I have a few weaker spots. But I think I can still compete and take him down. But yeah, those are the offers we have. Yeah, so Jesse, he had some arguments he wanted to present that he was saying that Garrett Wilson and Derrick Henry would both start on my team. And that was his argument as to why the deal would be made. And the one thing I would have to say is last season, I'll bring in Justin Jefferson's stats. To start the year, his first four games of the season, like with Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson averaged 25.8 points per game, which is pretty incredible. And compared to last season, Garrett Wilson averaged 12.5 points per game, which is a little bit low. And Derrick Henry averaged 14.74, not bad. But you combine the two, and it's actually just barely over Justin Jefferson's points per game. Which,
what's his stats with J.J. McCarthy?
Oh, he actually doesn't have stats with J.J. yet.
Oh, what about Sam Darnold?
He doesn't have any stats with Sam Darnold.
Okay. But okay. Just wanted to go ahead, continue.
But I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. Justin Jefferson did play four games down the stretch of last season with backup quarterbacks. And what did he average per game? 22.1 points per game, which is pretty darn good. And so the argument with Garrett Wilson, or like the biggest positive, is just like, oh, he's had all this time with backup quarterbacks. Just wait till he gets a quarterback. Guess what? Justin Jefferson had time with a backup quarterback, and he averaged 22.1 points per game. Like, the difference between these two players, in my opinion, is night and day. Like, they are completely different caliber of players. And when you look at players throughout the course of history, like the elite level players, you change teams, you go to a different quarterback, you bring in a new quarterback, they stay elite. Tyreek Hill left Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in football. He goes with Tua Tagovailoa. He's breaking records. He is elite of elite. Like he's having like 1,800 yard seasons. Devontae Adams leaves the great Aaron Rodgers, best duo chemistry of all time. He goes to play with Derek Carr. Yeah, he's a college quarterback, but he still had an elite level season. He was a top five finisher. Like, why would Justin Jefferson not do the same? Like, yeah, he's going to have a new quarterback, JJ. He's going to have a new quarterback, Sam Darnold, maybe. I mean, I think he'll still be pretty elite. Whereas Garrett Wilson, like, he's a good player, but it's just like, what's his upside? And my argument is with Justin Jefferson, even if he averages 22 points per game, like, yes, Derrick Henry and Garrett Wilson average more together, but Justin Jefferson with just any random running back, say Javonte Williams, who's on my team, he averaged 11.2 points per game. So combining Justin Jefferson and Javonte Williams is a ton better for my team than if I got Garrett Wilson and Derrick Henry. And that's by about 7 points per game based on last season alone. So I think the answer is pretty easy. Justin Jefferson's just an elite level player to where you can have a just fringe running back and put him in your lineup and still produce better than Garrett Wilson and Derrick Henry.
That's pretty fair, Nick. And you bring up some pretty valid points. Absolutely. And I just want to be very clear here. I don't think my side of the argument is that, oh, you should absolutely accept this. It was to me, it felt like when I sent the offer, Nick got very upset about it and very confrontational. And so from my perspective, it was just to say, this is a fair offer. Like, this isn't the craziest offer in the world. Derrick Henry, if he were to stay healthy this entire season, he would be Nick's RB2 for the entire season. Garrett Wilson would be between his wide receiver two and flexes throughout the season. That is absolutely true. I would be trading him two starters for one starter. And of course, Justin Jefferson. He is a high variety guy, but or a high quality guy. However, my main argument here actually stems from this league's vast history of, I mean, around 3 years now. So, just to be clear to everyone, to start off this league, this in particular league, it is a one QB league with 10 teams. That's extremely important right now. Okay, so a guy in our league traded the 104 for the 212 and the 301. And about 9 months later, we used that exact trade to say collusion and kick that person out of the league. That is a verified truth of this league. That is what we did. The 104 for the 212 and the 301 is collusion and kicked out a bull for that crime. What Nick offered me as a counter to that Derrick Henry and Garrett Wilson offer was the I'll give you 101. Let's call it 101, JJ, for the 110 and Garrett Wilson. So another one. And Jonathan Taylor, the 204, and a second round pick. I'm the one on trial here. I'm the one who threw out an offensible trade. That is literally worse than a trade that we kicked someone out of this league for. My offer was the 110 and the 5-1, according to ADP. I just did the mock draft. I did it right before this. I did the sleeper mock draft. What do you got, Nick? Let's go ahead and flip the script here. You're the one on the stand. How do you respond to offering me your one for my one and 204 and a second whenever we kick someone out for trading away the 104 for the 212 and 301 straight up?
What thing I would say is we did not kick the guy out for just that trade. We kicked that guy out for a lot of different reasons because that those two
It was
teams,
that and two other trades. It was that and
yes.
two other trades. But we used it as evidence of collusion. That is true.
Yes, and the reason why, like, to give backstory, we knew eight of the people in this league. Jesse's the only one who knew this other guy, and that guy brought in one friend. And those were the two that did this trade, and then they did two other trades. And those were the only trades that this other guy, who no one knew, he was the only person he traded with was the guy he knew. And every single trade was pretty lopsided. In fact, that trade, the 104 for the both of the second and third, like that trade I was fine with. It was the fact of all three of the trades. And in fact, I don't even think that was the worst one. But it's just like the guy would not
But it
respond to
was
other people's
used
trade
as
offers.
evidence. Yes, I understand what you're saying. But the fact that we could use it as evidence at one point to point to collusion, and then you send me that same offer, like we're both commissioners. Somebody could say, oh, the two commissioners colluding together, working together.
I will also say that the league at that point in time, like that was the running backs were the top of that draft, like when we played. And it was like just Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor. Like those were the top picks in that time. And I think the game has changed since then, especially with fantasy, and that wide receivers have flipped and wide receivers play a lot longer. But I think wide receivers now have a lot higher of value than the running backs did at that point in time. And that was even a point in time where even the top running backs like were not like they were a little bit questionable as well. Like they had injury history, stuff like that. And even Justin Jefferson was just a rookie at that point in time, or like his second year. And it's just like none of the receivers were like super way above what they are right now. Like there's a lot of young receivers that have emerged. Whereas back then it didn't. And in that case, I think today, I think Justin Jefferson for Garrett Wilson and Jonathan Taylor is a completely fair deal. And I think it would help both of our teams. And I think in 10-team leagues in general, I think having the elite of the elite players is very important. And I think having a guy like Justin Jefferson is a very valuable asset in a 10-team league, and probably even more so than we thought when we first joined this league, because we were all pretty inexperienced at that point, and we didn't exactly know. But it's just now looking back, like I think the top picks like are pretty darn valuable.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, I do think as a community, as a fantasy community, it's kind of been that way. Sorry, Logan, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just feel like I should also just add in a few other things. Yeah, it's a 10-team league, one QB, but to also highlight that there's two running backs, two receivers, two flexes. Just as kind of a little bit of a clapback too, like how often would you guys be putting running backs in a flex, or would you be more geared to putting receivers in the flex?
The year that I wanted in that league, it was actually mostly running backs because they're safer, is what I found. It's just like more consistent. So if you have those top guys, but exactly what Nick was saying, those elite guys are definitely more, way more valuable in those leagues. Like, you know, if you can get a top five guy in the position, I mean, it's extremely valuable. So I mean, definitely a fair point there.
Yeah, valid. I also do want to touch a little bit on that collusion process. Ultimately, I definitely do feel like one of the guys was not checking their roster as well. They allegedly had some stuff come up and were gone for many months, allegedly. And it was a whole
It
ordeal.
was
So
rough. It was rough.
that was a weird time, and I'm glad we've moved past it. I just want to put that there.
And didn't either him or someone have like a disease that has been like eradicated for years
There
too.
was only a few cases that year in that state. It was less than five cases, so theoretically, it could have been possible, but it just seemed a little suspicious, you know.
Right. No. I do understand. Yeah, I voted yes, you know, that we kicked them out of the league as well. Like I was definitely on board with that. I'm not debating that we shouldn't have kicked them out. But whenever the facts of the matter are still true. Whenever the whole reason why I bring this all up, all these numbers up, is because In these texts that Nick talked about earlier, he said something along the lines of like, oh, well, any more for someone's, top pick, you got to send a second, third, fourth, and an eighth. And I said, what are you talking about? No, you don't. Like, how many one QB 10 team league startups are you in? And yeah, so that was just my main point in this.
Yeah, I guess one thing I want you guys to go back on too, just because I feel like we had a little bit of discussion, or Nick, when he called me venting, he was so sad. He had to explain his side of the trade, so I helped him out a little bit. But one thing that we
Just to be
talked
clear,
about.
I never called Logan. Just to be clear to the listeners, me and Logan have not talked prior to this, so
See,
just wanted to throw that out there.
that's why I don't know if I actually want to make a decision on who wins this. We'll have to leave it up to the listeners. But so I feel like this is a valuable topic to get your perspective from both of you, because I do it too, especially in our last podcast. I kept referencing like keep trade cut as like a metric to understand what someone's worth is and their value in trades. And maybe you guys can talk about it in super flex leagues and this one QB league. How would you guys value the top players in their position, especially with age? Like, is the ranking accurate?
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I'm glad we're kind of rounding into this topic because this is largely what Logan and I talked about on the phone, like rather than our trade. It was not just to calling me voice my frustrations and tears and everything. We also discussed tr keep trade cut. And I like what my general point was is that I think in general, keep trade cut struggles with the top guys. Like, because like eventually if you stack in enough assets, it'll tip in the other favor. But I think in general, like the elite of the elite, like in Superflex League, like Mahomes, Allen, like the Hurts kind of guys, like they're tough to trade for. And keep trade cut, I don't think truly like is able to identify what it takes to get a player like that and also what's actually a fair deal. And I think in a one QB, the case with Jefferson, Chase, like Lamb, Bijan, like it's hard. And I'll reference this one. Like Jesse did a trade in this same league we're talking about for Bijan Robinson, and he gave up a ton and more than what probably said on keep trade cut, like way more. Whereas in the long run, I think both of them are going to be happy with the deal. Like it's just like it's keep trade cut just doesn't take into account these top guys like they should, in my opinion.
I mean, that is honestly pretty fair. I like keep trade cut as like just using it as like a third party to kind of bounce something off of to make sure that I'm not going to offend someone like I apparently did with Nick. But yeah, I mean, with that Bijan trade, I definitely gave up a ton. It was Saquon, James Cook, Brian Thomas, I believe, and two firsts. So I mean, yeah, you're doing the math on it. It's something like four firsts, maybe four and a half. My real thoughts on it before I sent it, I had been chasing Bijan because in this league, right, exactly the concept that we've talked about. That's why I was chasing Justin Jefferson. As Nick alluded to earlier, my team's just like kind of it's stacked. Like, to be honest, it has a lot of players that would start on a lot of other teams. So it just makes sense to try to get those top five guys because they are so valuable. Because of the settings Logan talked about earlier with the two running backs, two wide receivers, two flex. And so yeah, I mean you're spot on, Nick, especially whenever you're dealing with an odd league like this. KTC probably isn't the best metric to use, but yeah, I think that they were spot on when they said that the trade you sent me was poo-poo.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think with keep trade cut, like with the top guys, I don't think it's the best to use it. Like I think with the top guys, you guys got to be like, if you're on the other side of the deal, like would you do this? Like that's the best way to judge it. And I think keep trade cut is pretty good for like the guys that are kind of valued a little bit in the middle tier. I feel like that's a good, like it does a better job of like making offers in that sense. But in general, I think keep trade cut has its flaws, and but I mean it's also good, yeah, not to offend someone. I like you said that. That's true. And I also wasn't offended by your
It's
trade.
fine. It's fine. Hey, we'll give him a shout out on the pod real quick. What was the website Jay Stew told us that he uses? He uses that and KTC. Did you remember? use the second website, because I would like to know. It bases it off of real life trades that are going on. So yeah, maybe that's a little bit better. We need to probably get into that one and deep dive a little bit into that for the listeners. We'll come back to you next week.
Oh
Little teaser.
And yeah, then and after this, yeah, let's move on from the trade. Jesse and I are both very upset, clearly, about the trade, and it's better just to move on. I'm still very sad about it, but let's bring it to like kind of a more like general discussion on a player. Okay, Logan's got something to say
Sorry,
real
some
quick here.
closing
Logan,
thoughts.
decide.
No,
Yeah,
I don't.
Nick wanted to go right on past
Okay.
the judgment. Come on here, let's go, Logan. Judge, judge,
Okay,
judge.
I'm not gonna take like so this person one or the other person one, but like, would you say that you kind of set the market with your Bijan trade though, Jesse? On a
That
single
might be a
player?
fair statement. Yeah, that might be a
That's
fair
what I was
statement.
thinking too. Like Nick just saw this trade come through, so like. He's like, man, he got a haul for that one like awesome young player. Like that's kind of how I see it. Like it's just that you had like a pretty high amount of value in that last trade to acquire Bijan. So I guess like an outsider looking into like the next person's going to be expecting a haul too, probably, right?
Right. I mean, and that is completely fair. I mean, yeah, that is fair. I do feel like Nick also though did not want to address any of the question marks about Justin Jefferson that are they're validly there for this upcoming season. Yes, there is discussion between a lot of people if he should be the 101 or not in these kinds of leagues, in redraft leagues. So anyway, but Nick doesn't want to no, sorry, Nick, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I mean that kind of helps to actually wait. We got to get a judge. Logan, we got to have a decision here before we move on completely.
Remember my beginning arguments, because those were the
And mine
best.
as well. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, let me just oh yeah, I remember him perfectly now. Thank you guys.
I have
No,
my notes here. I can flash them on the camera.
I didn't like the Derrick Henry asset in the trade because he has hit that age and I look at it every year. He was on the Titans. I was trying to root for him. The foot injury. I'm like, man, is he actually going to be able to come back? And then he played in that postseason with the metal in his cleat, and he looked pretty okay. And then he came back and had a pretty solid season. But it's like another thing to like think about, in my opinion, is I would say last year was a pretty down year for running backs as well. So I would say that certain running backs had inflated stats in the long run when you have players like Nick Chubb go out. And I think that there was only like a handful of running backs that even hit like 1,200 yards, I think was where people started really hitting the cutoff. And I think that that's kind of just a weird year. I didn't like Derrick Henry in that trade, but the Jonathan Taylor in for Derrick Henry is what intrigued me. I thought that was kind of like you both get assets that you want, and it would probably be a pretty good one, but you could always spice that up with like some picks or something.
To be fair, I was close to accepting that. Like I definitely did consider it, the Jonathan Taylor for Garrett Wilson one. And then Derrick Henry would be my RB2, with Jonathan Taylor being Nick's RB2. Yeah, I mean it's not to say that I didn't consider it at all. But I will just say, okay, to my last thing that I want to say, Judge, before you hand us your final verdict. Was it offensible? Was the offer offensible, egregious as Nick acted, or is it a starting freaking offer? Like, I mean, it did get him going. He sent me a good counter, so it kind of got the ball right. Like, I mean.
Yeah, I think it was a valid open trade to have. I mean, I think in some leagues, some people might be like, dude, what the fuck? Like, what was that? Like, don't trade me again. But, like, I think Nick.
Translation, it's egregious, Jesse. No,
No, I don't
no,
think it
he didn't
is.
say that.
It's like,
Yeah, bang the gavel, Logan.
no, I don't think it
Order in
is.
the court. It is not. It is not. Let's go.
Especially seeing what Jesse does in certain leagues, like, just trying to get the DMs open, get people like trying to counter instead of like the Josh Palmer low ball that he sent me. That was egregious,
That
but
was egregious. That was egregious. That's fair.
I thought it was fine. I thought like it was
See how
definitely under
Logan
the
didn't get
mark.
mad? Yeah, Logan didn't get mad though.
Yeah, so I thought it was just slightly under the mark, but like a good counter that worked for both of you. Like I thought it was ultimately like met. Maybe like talk about picks if that would have like helped move it, but I don't know. I thought it was fine.
All right, so yeah, Logan thought my trade was fairer, but I guess it's not egregious, so Jesse kind of wins. But all
Nope, Jesse 100% wins.
right. I'll let you think that. I'm gonna pop my champagne after the episode for the win here. But
And you can DM Jesse underscore Setzer your thoughts, and you can get Nick
DM
and Bro Talk Nick.
me your thoughts if you think I won.
no one's gonna do that, Jesse. But yeah, I'll talk about Justin Jefferson. I think he's still elite and should be valued at the very top. Like maybe in terms of redraft value, I might take a few guys higher, but it's just I don't think there's a receiver long term that I'd rather have in Dynasty than Justin Jefferson. Just because elite receivers find ways to produce. Like whether or not Sam Darnold somehow is the guy or JJ McCarthy's the guy, I still think Justin Jefferson's going to get his. And like the same argument that with Justin Jefferson this year is going to be the case of CeeDee Lamb next year because they're going to bring in competition. Dak might not be back. Guess we'll see. Like Ja'Marr Chase, like he's got T. Higgins. Puka, like I don't know whose quarterback's going to be after Stafford. But bottom line, yeah, I think Justin Jefferson's the cream of the crop in terms of receivers right now in Dynasty.
Also, another thing to add in too, I never found what Jesse was talking about potentially on the Vikings suspending Addison just for the little time I looked. But like a potential Jordan Addison suspension could elevate, Jay Jettas' value a little bit more too, because he's just going to be like the sole guy out there unless Jalen Naylor is going to take some targets.
Yeah, and with Hockenson, like he's probably going to be at best ready mid-season, and he still might not be fully ready until next year. So yeah, Justin Jefferson's still going to be elite. But maybe we should kind of take it to the other side of the trade. Where are we at on Garrett Wilson? We had some discussions in actually what started off the trade discussions in the group message is Jesse. The biggest Garrett Wilson fan there is was a little bit nervous about the rumors of Devontae Adams going to the Jets. Like, Jesse, if Garrett Wilson is as good as you think he is, and as good as he is for this trade to be worth it for me, then why would you be worried about a 31, 32-year-old wide receiver coming in? Now, yeah, he's got experience with Rodgers, but like, are you really that scared for your 23-year-old wide receiver one player? Are you really that concerned for a third, like an old guy coming in?
In the text, he said, "A warm body. You're worried. You're a Garrett Wilson fan, but you're worried about the first warm body that's coming over to the Jets." Okay, and has a little experience. Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are like a Hall of Fame duo. Like, name a better duo. Like, seriously, take a second. Name a better duo, Nick. You're on the clock. Historically, a better duo.
Oh, Kirk Cousins and Justin Jones. I'm just kidding. better duo. Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow.
Okay, maybe. No, not Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, but okay, I'll give you Ben
They
and
won a
Antonio Brown.
championship in college. They went to a Super Bowl in the NFL. Like, it's pretty good. Like, there's been a lot of good duos. Devontae Adams is a good receiver. He's just getting old.
Yeah, like a Hall of Fame level wide receiver who's like with his Hall of Fame quarterback that they've had so much experience with. Like, it's not just some guy with some experience with him. Like, it's the guys. Like, they're like, it's just, I know that you as a Bears fan have witnessed the magic that they can accomplish together. So, yeah, I guess I'll just leave it at that. It's not as much a fear for Garrett Wilson. I think he is a great receiver. It's more of if he becomes a number two wide receiver, which the only person I think in the NFL who is making Garrett Wilson a wide receiver two in that offense is Davante Adams. So yes, I was worried if Davante Adams was traded, but the greatest thing ever happened yesterday. They said the agent, Davante Adams' agent, Raiders said they aren't open to trading. It's all good. It's not happening. So, Garrett Wilson's back on the A team.
I would like to say one thing on that. Like, I've seen people on Twitter like references all the time where it's just like players say, I will not leave the team. I am staying forever. And then they're traded the next day. Or a coach saying, I am here forever. I am a like Texas A&M baseball coach. I am an Aggie for life. How dare you ask me that question? I will never leave. He leaves by the next morning. Like, what are they gonna say? Like, the rumors are running rampant. Agents saying Devontae Adams is happy as a Raider. Works out. But also, the thing I would have to say is, like, there's been a lot of like Devontae Adams is an elite receiver. Like, he still is a pretty good player. But I mean, he's getting a little bit older. And the thing is, like, Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen, like, they were a pretty darn good duo. Like, they were elite. Justin Jefferson comes in, he makes Adam Thielen kind of irrelevant. Like, if Garrett Wilson is that guy, like, Devontae Adams coming in, yeah, he's going to get targets. But it's just if Garrett Wilson's good, like if he is that good, like he's gonna produce, I think at least. And also Devontae Adams is getting older to where it's just in Dynasty, like Garrett
Logan, I
Wilson's
want
still
you to
young.
note it. He just compared Devontae Adams to Adam Thielen out of Mankato State, Minnesota. So I just want to throw that out there. That is the craziest comparison I've ever heard in my life. But yeah, no, if you want to draft this year, if you want to draft Adam Thielen right along with Devontae Adams this year, go ahead. Take him in the fourth. Go
Logan,
for it, dude.
I'd like you to note that Jesse just compared Adam Thielen to a wide receiver from Fresno State University. Like, I'd like you to note that down.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks for all the notes, everyone.
That's
I'll get
fair. That's
my
fair.
notepad out. So I guess I do want to come back to this topic. Are you trying to trade away your Garrett Wilson shares still, Jesse? Did you mention that earlier?
No, I'm not trying to anymore because of the news yesterday.
So you're not scared.
No, I'm a believer when they say they're sticking around.
Okay, I just had to reaffirm your opinion on this. Someone note that.
Don't trade your Garrett Wilson shares.
All right, if tomorrow it gets announced that the Jets are in discussion with the Raiders on a Devontae Adams trade, are you nervous for Garrett Wilson long term?
No, because Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there long term anyway. I mean, to be fair, like Garrett Wilson's long term quarterback situation is very up in the air. And he's still going as wide receiver eight. The talent's there.
I guess I'm going to shift this to another, like I would say, could be a pretty high probability trade though. Would if you have Terry McLaurin, are you worried about Brandon Ayuk maybe swooping in, playing with his college quarterback?
Honestly, I kind of would be for Terry McLaurin just because I'm kind of worried about Jaden Daniels like transition to the NFL. Like we don't know if he's good yet. And if you bring in another wide receiver that he has experience with, like is he going to be able to support that many players? Like I still think Terry McLaurin will do well and so will Ayuk, but I feel like with McLaurin you're kind of hoping he can reach that next level. Like to get to like what Derek or DJ Moore did with Justin Fields or something like that. Whereas like if they bring in Ayuk, I think that hope is going to be kind of lost. And then and yeah, for that reason, I'd be a little worried.
Yeah, I figured I'd mention that one. Just another Ohio State receiver that could be in the works of having to battle with like a really established receiver. Because I feel like IU peaked really hard last year, whereas McLaurin's just been kind of like a nice, solid guy with good value later in the draft. So.
Yeah, we might have to kind of do an emergency podcast in the next week if there's a move. I hope there is because I would love to get on here and discuss it. And especially if there's a move to the Jets, like I would love to see Jesse's reaction on here. That would be quite a bit of fun.
It'd be so fun. I'd love it. I love it so much. Hey, did we already talk about the Amon-Ra St. Brown trade that I made?
Ooh,
Where I
bring
did
it up.
trade quite a bit of I did trade away quite a bit of assets.
Yeah, I
Let
mean,
me.
it's possible we did, but go ahead and throw it out there.
All right, yeah, you guys go ahead and grade this one. It was Amon-Ra. I acquired Amon-Ra St. Brown in a team that's kind of rebuilding. Is the only thing that That could maybe be a worry. So I gave up Aaron Rodgers, Christian Watson, Wicks, 2025 second, and a 2025 first. I think the 2025 first is going to be pretty late, and the second's going to be really early. Oh, and then we should also discuss at some point that Blues team, how Addison and go ahead.
I think that would I agree. I think that would be a good podcast to discuss that league that we drafted in earlier this offseason. But I like that. I like that Amon-Ra trade for you. I think you kind of got rid of a bunch of like middle tier type players and got an elite guy. I like it. But I think that about sums it up for today. You can follow him on Twitter, Jesse underscore Setzer. You can follow him at Pro Talk Logan. Follow me at PT Nick 32. Until next time.